Pick a plant that grows outside of your door, like a dandelion, the dandelion, and just go brush your teeth with the plant every day and just watch it.
Welcome to the Tracking Connections podcast, and thanks for listening.
We feature voices from around the world sharing stories of working intentionally with deep nature connection in ways that transform lives, families, projects, and communities. I'm Sarah.
I'm Aiden.
And I'm John.
And we are your hosts from Living Connection First.
Hey, everybody, this is Aiden.
Hi, John here, and I'm really happy that we get to talk to Alexis Burnett, founder of Earth Tracks in Ontario. And we were just thinking back to when we met, and we go back 30 years, and even Aiden has known Alexis for 30 years. And we haven't been hanging out, but we hung out a lot in the wilderness, tracking wolves and things together and attending programs and things like that. But nice to have you here, Alexis. Thanks for joining us on Tracking Connections.
Yeah, it's nice to be here. Nice to reconnect with Aiden here and to be here with you as well, John. I'm looking forward to our conversation today.
Yeah, me too. I've been thinking about this conversation for quite a while. Just really, you know, what is it that we really want to lift up from Alexis' experience? Because it's rare to have somebody like Alexis because, you know, I met him at the Tracker School in the mid-90s and he started to come to programs at Wilderness Awareness School based in Washington State. And he got involved with our Wolf Tracks program, which was a kind of collaboration between the Tractor School and the Art of Mentoring Network. We were really looking to jumpstart, you know, nature mentors, essentially, really, to get out there and do things in their region. And Alexis is one of the people who really took that to heart and went on the journey. He finished that naturalist training program that used to be called Kamana. It's now the Natural Mind Initiation Path, which is a big commitment in itself. Aiden also has done that, as well as Sarah. And he joined our Shikari Tracker training program and did a lot of training back and forth between Vermont and Washington, and then has been applying, you know, H. Shields principles, Art of Mentoring principles, founded Earth Tracks after he finished his own training. And we did a lot of wolf tracking in Idaho, in the wilderness of Idaho, which was always an amazing experience, like otherworldly fun, you know, just really, really deep dive into the trailing of wolves and elk in small groups and putting together a big picture from, you know, many teams going out over this, you know, multi-million acre wilderness to try to figure out what this particular pack was up to, you know, how many wolves are in the pack, how many males, how many females, how big are they, how old are they? What have they been doing? You know, where's their territorial boundaries, that kind of thing. And it's such an amazing experience. But yeah, I was thinking, Alexis, you know, being in the position I'm in for the many decades, I started as a mentor probably when I was 19 consciously, you know, when I was a freshman in college, probably when I was 18 actually. And I watched people go on this journey of deep nature connection. And, you know, not everybody goes deep. You know, a lot of people get a lot out of it. You know, they learn some good things, it improves quality of their life. They enjoy their outdoor time more. They're, you know, able to bring cool things to their kids when they're, you know, when they become parents or their nieces or nephews, or grandchildren. But then there's those people like you who kind of go all in, right? I'm both feet in. I know this is a calling. I'm going to do this with everything I got. And you certainly were that person. Like I watched your commitment level. And there was a handful of people, you know, during those years when we were doing that and training with Mark Morey and, you know, all the different school leaders around the country in Canada and US. I know looking back over my own journey, I can see how this transformed my life. And then I get to watch folks like you who go on this journey and how it transforms your life. But then you get to turn around. You've been doing this for 30 years, 20 years Earth Tracks has been going, but you've been doing it longer than that. I think you have probably witnessed a lot of transformations, a lot of people, you know, coming in one state of mind, maybe depressed or unhappy or lost, who find themselves through this and grow into the best version of themselves. And I'd be really curious, you know, one, if you reflect back over your own journey, you know, what might you say about that for yourself? And then, you know, have you seen these tools work to help other people get on their feet?
Yeah, that's a good question. There's lots there. I don't know how much time we have, but we're just getting started. So good jump in on that. Yeah, you know, this journey's definitely changed my life. You know, I did jump in with both feet. I think I was around 18 when I first really started to kind of commit to this pathway learning. And at that time, I was living out in British Columbia. And even, I guess, before I went out to BC in the mid-90s, I graduated high school and I knew I was interested in nature and the outdoors and the environment. But nothing really at university or college kind of spoke to me, really. You know, there's like biology and environmental science and stuff like that. But it just didn't really resonate at the time. So, you know, as my dad said, all the loose marbles roll west. So I found myself out in the mountains and, you know, I volunteered with the search and rescue and I spent a lot of time backcountry snowboarding and fishing up in the mountains because I grew up, you know, on the land a fair bit. My parents weren't necessarily naturalists, but they loved the land, you know, my dad especially. And my mom and they instilled a deep relationship, I think, for me and for all my brothers. I have three brothers and we grew up, you know, having apple fights and throwing walnuts at each other. And if you were really upset with someone, you'd throw a horse chestnut, you know, with all the spikes. And I remember shucking peas and, you know, growing gardens and raising chickens and pheasants and things like that. Things that I do with my own son now. But I didn't know, you know, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do, but I knew I wanted to be out west in the mountains. And I loved my time out there. And that's when a friend of mine had introduced me to Tom Brown and to one of his books. And that really changed me, just reading those books. And I sort of voraciously went through them and was ordering them from different libraries around British Columbia. And I found myself back east and went to the tracker school. And that just kind of opened up a new world for me. It was something deeper to look at. It was a deeper relationship to the land, to the earth. And that's where things kind of began. And then, as you said, I was back and forth between the West and the East and learning. And it was a beautiful time, you know, kind of before cell phones and a lot of the things that we have these days in terms of technology and whatnot. I was joking with a friend the other day about how you'd, you know, sign up for a workshop and you'd send a check in the mail and you'd be calling them after 2 or 3 weeks. Did you get my check? Did you get my check? You know, now we can just sort of get online and register for anything we want or get things sent to our door. But being in the mountains, like there's that saying, like anyone can be a spiritual man on top of a mountain. And I really kind of began on kind of that naturalist tracking spiritual type journey for myself. And, I decided I wanted to move back to the east, to Ontario, so that I could dedicate my time. And that's how things began for me. And, you know, for many years, I just would go and take workshops and then come home and practice the skills that I was learning, whether it was at the tracker school or, you know, the original Kamana program was really inspirational for me on my journey. It provided that framework of learning and things to practice and to work on alone. And I spent a lot of time alone in the forest, basically at my sit spot for many years. I still teaching now, you know, 30 years later, I still have so many experiences that feel like yesterday, like sitting by the spring in the cedar forest, you know. And I had two long-term sit spots, one for probably about 4 years, 5 years, and then another one for about three or four years that were very similar habitats, you know, that I went to every day. I'm sure a lot of the listeners are familiar with that. And, you know, at that time, I really committed myself to this journey. And I said, you know, I didn't want to do something for work that I wasn't passionate about. And it wasn't sort of, you know, I guess kind of visionary in a sense. Like at the same time, I met up with a number of Indigenous people and elders and teachers in Ontario here and started to go to ceremony really regularly and was involved with some men's circles. And that was really pivotal for my learning too, because it was kind of in conjunction with the Kamana journey and the things I was learning at the tracker school and the herbal stuff that I was doing at the time. And I really wanted to just like let things unfold in a natural way. And And that's kind of what they did. Now, you know, for a number of years, I did jobs that I didn't necessarily enjoy and like, just to make ends meet and that, but they were always sort of with a short-term goal. You know, I did a lot of gardening, organic gardening and landscaping, and I had a herb garden and I was selling salves and things at the local farmers markets. And that's actually how I paid for an apprenticeship that I did with Rosemary Gladstar in Vermont many years ago, and was selling herbal remedies at the farmers market. And yeah, things just kind of, you know, went from there. And you know, Earth Tracks eventually started, and I did a lot of canoe guiding early and partnered with an eco lodge around Algonquin Park and ran a lot of programs there. And things just kind of, you know, I guess kind of snowballed, for a Canadian term there, rolling down the hill and getting bigger and bigger. Not that they're huge by any means, but I look back and I'm so grateful for this journey. You know, now I'm in my mid 40s, I'm 46, and you know, I'm in a different life stage now, and I kind of can look back and see all these little transformations really that happened in my life. And the whole time, you know, seeing, working with others too, and mentoring, and I had many relationships over the years with students and peers and friends that became peers and colleagues, you know, and I look back and I feel really blessed for everything that has kind of fallen into place in my life. You know, at this point, I feel really drawn towards just my connection to spirit and moving forth kind of into this next stage. But yeah, it's been amazing to really see how this work has not only changed my life, but it continues to change others as well. I'm blown away when I get emails or phone calls from people that have all these kind words to say about how these things have just impacted their life. And, you know, I really feel that, you know, by committing all those years ago to walking a path close to the earth, it allowed doors and avenues to kind of open up to me. Mm-hmm. That's helped me to make relationships that have fostered friendships and relationships that continue to kind of ripple out into the world and touch people in a beautiful way. So, you know, mm-hmm. I hope I can, you know, give that to my kids as well. So,
yeah, thank you for that. And, you know, you work with, I know you have children's programs, you have teen programs, adult programs, right? So you're working with so many different ages over the years. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's sort of, you know, one of my first jobs, I guess, well, volunteers was, you know, my mom saw that I really loved what I was doing. And, you know, I got to kind of shout out to both my parents. My dad's passed on now, but they really, you know, they never pushed me to take that, what people might call a modern traditional route of kind of college and university. You know, they saw I was passionate about these things, and they were very, very supportive. And my mom worked at the library, and I must have been probably 20, 21, I don't know. And there was a teacher that would bring students in that were from the kind of inner city parts of Toronto that were, there was a program called the Northern Lights program at the time that was run out of an outdoor center close to me. And they were talking about how they were taking the kids out on the land. And my mom was like, oh, you know, my son really likes nature. maybe he can take the kids out. He's into all this like stuff called wildlife tracking and learning about plants. And so it was kind of interesting because I just started volunteering and taking these kids out on walks in one of our local parks. And then a position opened up and they ended up hiring me. And I thought, oh, wow, I'm actually like making a little bit of money doing this. And kind of like learning a lot. Like, a big thing at that time was that I learned, and I'm glad I learned this early, it's just that there were kids that really didn't seem engaged and were hard to deal with in terms of, like, for me as like a mentor, a teacher, a facilitator, I didn't have the experience to really, I just didn't have experience really, you know, so I didn't always know what to do when kids weren't listening. You know, I didn't have really any skills other than I was just passionate. But there were times where we would go to the city and meet new kids that were going to come into the program. And I remember one young man running up to me and just talking about how much he loved this experience and how it changed his life. And I, in the back of my mind, I was thinking, wow, like, I didn't think you were listening to anything for the whole 6-week program. You know, you were just in the back of the room, like, you know, throwing paper airplanes and stuff and just never listening. And it made me realize that, you know, kids are always listening, regardless of how they're acting. And that sometimes it's, you know, it's what's in my own head that's kind of holding me back from that experience that's happening. So like I began in that way, and I started a tracking and nature club and ran that for, I think, 7 years, which was just for free for people to come to, basically because I just wanted people to go tracking with. Yeah. And then there was just many different kids programs and adult programs. And over the years, I've had many iterations, you know, whether it's 7 to 11 year old programs and teenager programs and adult programs. And, you know, I love them all for different reasons. They're all different, but what I really enjoy is just that long-term mentoring and working with people over time rather than the one-offs. Like I did a lot of that over the years where, you know, students or schools would come and you'd even take them on a week-long canoe trip, but then you're kind of sending them back into, like, they'd have a life-changing experience potentially on the land, but then you're sending them back to the same environment that they came from. And it's hard to kind of hold on to those changes and to really move on to the next level. Like you always have those memories, but what I love is working with kids over time and adults too, because you form relationships to each other. You form relationships to the land, to the plants, to the animals, whatever it is that you're focusing on. And it's amazing how that relationship builds over time. So yeah, I've really enjoyed all those and some work that I've done with some Indigenous organizations and schools as well. So as I said earlier, it's led from one thing to another to another. And I just kind of roll with it in whatever, you know, direction I feel called in, I guess, so to speak. But I do sure appreciate hearing from kids and adults and how these things have changed them. Because it's not necessarily me. It's you know, I can help to facilitate the experience, but you're connecting people to the earth, essentially, to the animals. And it's that connection that really changes and transforms people. It's not me. You know, I can facilitate those experiences, but it's the connection to the land that inherently, I think, is what changes people and transforms them.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree with that statement. Yeah. A lot of people point at me, go, oh, thank you for, you know, all that you do. I'm like, you know, no, I'm just a link in a chain. You know, that's how I feel. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. So you've had the opportunity to watch people, you know, from age 7 up to 11, and then they're 13 and then they're 15. Right. So you're getting to see them through stages of life and things like that. Right.
Yeah, which is fabulous, you know, to see. Like there's kids that now, as you both know, you know, you work with them when they're young, and now they're these full grown men and women that are in their 20s or in some cases almost like into their 30s now. And I love it when they come back and, you know, can help out, you know, like in some programs that I've been doing for a long time, I'll have these young men and women come back and share, especially in specifically one Indigenous community that I work with, because they'll come back and work with the school. And I love it. Like the other day I was saying, hey, you know, you see this guy right here? I was like, he was your age when I first met him, right? And now he's a big strapping, you know, 6 foot and who knows, come 100 pounds, you know, makes me look small. But just loving it, you know, and coming back and sharing and just seeing people go out and start their own businesses or schools or just use these skills in whatever way they do. It's really gratifying to see that you know, people kind of step into their gifts and share that with the world. So any kind of small part I can play in that, I'm always grateful for.
Hmm. Yeah. Well described. Thank you. I was thinking about what you said, Alexis, kind of in passing there, which I want to like slow down the ticker tape here, you know, slow down the transcript and make something big that you just said in passing so easily.
Yeah.
That, you know, people find their gifts and they move into their gifts. And, you know, that in and of itself is a transformation, right? Like how many people out there that I've heard from who, when they have been supported to find out who they really are, you know, like, who am I really? Like the way your parents did with you, right? They're like, I'm not going to try to make this kid go on this journey that everybody else is supposed to go on. He feels passionate about these things. I want to support him, right? So they really supported you to shine as you, right? As you said, your whole life has been like trailing this organic flow that is the flow of Alexis Burnett. You know, it's like one thing leads to the other. You know, the snowball keeps getting bigger, right? You feel called to go this way and hey, doors open, right? Because that's a real blessing that you had that kind of support. And so few people even know what that feels like. They don't even know it's possible, right? And so when we as mentors, you know, when we open up that space for the people we're mentoring and we just kind of sandbag back the world a little bit and let them find their own voice within the context of nature, because as we all know, you know, nature doesn't really judge. It doesn't, I don't like this person, you know, because of this or that. Nature doesn't do that. Nature is really just like a pure field. And it allows us to really find out who we are in a really profound way, especially when we're supported, you know. So, you know, the fact that you could just say that in passing, you know, helping people move into their gifts, and then all of a sudden they're feeling fulfilled. They feel like they're contributing. They have a meaningful path all of a sudden, and they get to do what they're passionate about, just the way you described, right? What's sort of a general reflection on how you support people to step into themselves in that way?
Well, I guess for me, you know, people come, like a big part of my passions are, you know, wildlife tracking and working with plants. You know, those are the two things that like I would say I probably quote unquote specialize in a little more. So people come because one of those things or sometimes both kind of intrigue them. They want to learn, you know, about foraging, or they want to learn how to like eat things or how to heal from plants on the land. And, or they want to learn how to follow animals or connect with kind of the ecology of the area, I guess, so to speak. And, so, you know, that's kind of what we say the programs are about, but then they are really about so much more. You know, it's not just those like following tracks. It's not just the animals, because we're out on the land in groups and we're learning together. But then, you know, I'm always encouraging people to make sure they're out on their own as well. Because sometimes, you know, when you're out with as powerful as the experience can be, when you're in a group, I think it can be kind of heady in a way. Like it can be, you're constantly, you know, you're playing off each other and you're listening to people and you're observing things together. But there's something that comes, I think, when you spend that time alone on the land and with your own learning, with your own thoughts, and then hopefully eventually letting those thoughts kind of fall from by the wayside, so to speak, and to really get in tune with the land itself. And I think that's when it changes things for people, you know, because I see, like, I'll get these text messages from people and they'll be sending me pictures of, you know, tracks or plants they've found or things they've made when they're out on the land. And, you know, that's, I think what, as I said before, like, that's what really draws people deeper. Like for me personally, just like a personal story, is just that, like, I was so into tracking that, like, that's like all I was doing, and harvesting plants and on the land in those early years. Like I spent so much time alone, you know, and I had a meditative kind of practice that I would do when I was out on the land as well. And all the, you know, sense meditation and the things that, you know, you'll learn on the awareness trail with Kamana, but just being like opening ourselves up to what's coming in from the land through our senses. And when people do that, I think it just opens them up to, you know, what maybe a bigger part of their journey might be in their life, or what their vision may be. And I've seen that time and time again, where people come because they want to learn about wildlife tracking, or they come and they want to learn about plants, but then they end up learning so much more. Even the simple act of like gratitude, you know, that can change people. in such a deep and powerful way. And I love to watch people when they come, because when you get new people that have never sort of been to our programs, like I start every day with the opening gratitude circle, and I close every day with a gratitude circle. It doesn't matter if it's adults, if it's kids, if it's family, like whatever it happens to be. It's just been so ingrained in me. And I'll see people kind of like, their body language is kind of like they got their arms crossed, you know, and they're not really sure what to say. And they're kind of wondering like, what is this? Right. And then they'll just sort of say like one or two things, you know, that they're grateful for, just to kind of fit in. But we just keep doing that again and again, and you see people open up. And I remember one person in particular that after like a number of years, I guess when she got more comfortable with me, said, you know, she was just straight up. And I love this because like, this isn't really my style, but she's like, you know, Alexa, she's like, when I first came, I hated these gratitude circles. She's like, I couldn't think of one thing I was excited or grateful for. And she said, it just made my skin crawl, right? And she's like, now, she's like, everywhere I go, all I want to do is facilitate gratitude circles, right? And she said, like, it like cracked her open, you know, to like kind of let the light get in, so to speak, you know? And I love that because it opened up a whole new world for her. And it was just a very simple thing. So again, you know, it was like, she came for one thing, but kind of got something else. Right. And just back to what I was saying before, I think when you spend time alone on the land, it does open you up to, you know, the powers that be or whatever you want to call it. I think it's spirit that speaks to us. And it shows us kind of a direction maybe that we may want to take in our life. Because I really think that, you know, when we open ourselves up to that external energy, that it's going to draw us along, and it's what's going to it has the power to inform our decisions and to inform the way that we hold ourselves and the way we move ourselves through life. So I'm not going to say that happens for everyone, and part of that is my own journey, because it's completely true for me, but I see it happening again and again with other people as well. So it's pretty amazing to watch that happen.
What I'm hearing is that it sort of doesn't matter the pathway that you start on the journey, right? Whether you're drawn to plants or tracking or birds or any of the things that kind of get you there. And it's just that at some point people are showing up often enough and they're following that you're able to find an opening for them to kind of go deeper on that journey for themselves. Yeah. And so I'm hearing a theme too of like the importance of being alone and spending time alone with this, and the importance of getting out of our heads, you know. And you're working with folks over time, right? You're working with them on a longer term journey. So what are the ways that you find it most effective to get them into either of those things, right? Get them into, you know, spending time alone and help get them out of their heads, right? What's been most effective for you?
And I think that's a big thing. It's just getting people out of their heads, getting people out of their own way, so to speak. Because there's, you know, we're so well trained in logical thought and thinking and reductionist patterns that like, I don't need to teach people that. they have that down, you know? And that's where like, it's not even so much, like as much as I love to kind of nerd out on the morphology of tracks and the little, like the botany of wildflowers and things like that, you know, you want to have those things and you want to have that incorporated into the learning, because that's what, you know, people are kind of drawn to begin with. But then, as I was saying, you know, the more you can kind of connect them and have a pathway for them to kind of follow down, then the better. Creating routines for them, you know, like a lot of, you know, even like the core routines, really, core routines in nature connection, but like getting them to, you know, spend time, like we talked about spending time on the land, getting out. I love to get people out, like to watch the sun come up and to watch the sunset, like just the energy at those times a day, because like, it's something that like, you know, we used to always stop and watch that. I remember with my dad when we'd be out at our farm, and he didn't always like speak to more of like the essence of it per se, but it was something that we would always like stop and observe, right? And the power of it. So like when I, sometimes when I say to my kids now, I'm just like, we always watch the sunrise and watch the sunset. I probably see more sunsets with them than sunrises, but I'm watching the sunrise every day right now. And it's just like, how powerful is that, you know, to just watch the sun come up each and every day. And it happens every day. Some days it's more dramatic than others, but it's such a powerful transformation to go from like that darkness into the light. So like, I love to try to get people to like create a routine where they're going to stop and reflect at those times of day. Definitely creating like sit spots or tracking spots, you know, just have them find some, a place that's close to them that they're going to watch and observe. I use focal species a lot as well. Like in my apprenticeships, I get people to focus on like one animal or one plant. And I love to tell people like, you know, especially when they say they're too busy, you know, like I'll be like, well, how often do you brush your teeth? And I don't even know where I learned this. I don't think it's my idea, but like I've been saying it so long that it kind of feels like it. But I just say like, pick a plant that grows outside of your door, like a dandelion, a dandelion, and just go brush your teeth with the plant every day and just watch it, you know, and observe it. And some people like, you know, journaling's another one too, because I'll tell people to write down their experiences. And some people are very, I think they call it like type A personality. There's probably a lot of other ways to describe it by this point, but like some people like create like a graph and they watch like every little thing, like they write every little thing that they're seeing. And then you have people that have that more artistic take on it that like will write a poem about how they feel observing that plant or compose a song or something. I love to see that. Like when people get their creativity kind of flowing and I find that no matter which side of that they're on, say, if you looked at it through those two veils or two eyes, like they'll revert to what feels comfortable to them. And then they'll kind of open up a blind spot kind of in their awareness. Like, oh, how else could I view this plant? Or how else could I view this animal? Right? Like here I am writing down everything I'm observing, A plus B equals C. But maybe, you know, what am I missing? You know, and I think that's kind of the power of a group too, because you see the different ways that people experience the world. And it's like, oh, I'm not like that, but that's a whole nother way. Maybe I'll try that shoe on for a little while or I'll open up. So I think it opens people up. Like we revert to what is comfortable for maybe our learning style. But then, you know, when you point out another way of viewing something or experiencing it and you try that on, it takes you to a deeper place. And maybe that's part of the role of the mentor too, is to kind of look for those patterns or those ruts that people have. And show them sort of a slightly different way, but also propping up the beauty of how they're experiencing the world too. Like when I used to love it, there was one woman in a plants apprenticeship program years ago that she did that like every morning before she went to work, she'd spend about half an hour at her little sit spot with this mullein plant. And at the beginning, she didn't even know what the mullein plant was. Because I tell people, if you know what it is, that's great. If you don't know, just pick a tiny little plant, like in the early spring that's starting to sprout. And I actually like it when they don't know that species because they really watch it, right? And she would spend that half an hour every day. She was so great about it. And she had this whole journal that she did. And then she'd show it to me once a month and I'd be reading. And she'd be talking about how the different insects that were coming and the flowers and how they flowered and how many would happen on a day. And she was measuring the growth and all this stuff. And I was like reading and I'm like, oh man, a big growth spurt. I'm like, I wonder what the weather was like a few days ago or when did it rain last? And I'm just flipping back. And like, she had all those notes, right? And I was experiencing this plant through her like observations, right? Which was really beautiful. And then, like I said, there's people that will write a song or, you know, write a poem about it too. So like kind of, opening people up to like a different way to experience the land or a plant or the tracks or whatever it happens to be. So like, I think all those core routines are kind of great ways to do that, like mapping and that kind of thing. Like I just love, you know, pretending you're a bird and looking down on the land, you know, getting people to know where the water comes from. It's huge for me. So like, I think about the things that really helped me out with my connection to the land. And then I try to I share those through kind of my personal stories, but where does the water come from and where is it going to? You know, for me, I spent my 20s and I still do now. Anywhere I go new, I'm like, where does this river come from and where is it flowing to? And, you know, I spent a lot of time following creeks to the springs, to where they came out of the ground, because I was curious about that. And then along that line, you know, you see all these other things, you find all these cool places, you find these waterfalls, you end up sitting down, you end up drinking from the spring. So it's just like one thing kind of leads to another, right? So you kind of send people on that journey to find things or to identify things in the wild or to find a certain plant or to learn about it. And then as they do it, it's all these other experiences that come in. And then I think where you are at on your life, you know, I always like to throw some sort of meditative type practice in, or just intention setting, you know, what do I want to find today? Or what am I working on? What's one of these questions that I'm striving after that I really want to figure out, and just kind of putting that out to the universe. I know, John, you always tell that story about the synchronicities and how Tom got you to keep track of those. Right. And when you had the 100th one or whatever it was. Right. But because some people don't see that, you know, they maybe in our culture, we don't raise ourselves to see those beautiful synchronicities. So you sort of got to get hit over the head a few times with them for them to start to pop out. And then all of a sudden you kind of want to sing from the rooftops, right? That you're having these powerful experiences on the land. So I hope that answers some of your questions on that. I know there's lots more, you know, that get people out, but I think just encouraging them to get out on the land and have one or two little tasks or things to learn while they're out there, and just let the other things come in. And then as a mentor, just catching that story too, right? Making sure people have space and time to be heard and to share. Because that really gets people to kind of come alive. You know, we're not always listened to in our work lives or even in our personal lives and relationships. So when you have people that actually really care and want to hear your stories and your experiences, it you feel that, you know, when someone's really listening, right?
Oh, yeah. I think that's a huge one. I mean, I think we did an episode on the 10 stones, you know, which is you're describing all of these ways of conducting groups to build those connections, right? The one thing that I would cross my mind, you know, answering Aiden's question, you know, how do you get people motivated to do things on their own? I wonder if you do things like when you have the group together, do you send them out for a sit when you have them together? You know what I mean? So I got a group here, do some activities together, but then send everybody out to have a sit spot by themselves for a little bit, come back and tell stories. Is that something that you utilize?
Yeah, I've been known to do that. Definitely. Definitely. Yeah, no, of course. You know, it's definitely, it's one of my favorite parts. Because then you don't have to talk anymore. But no, you know what? I actually did that with a group of teenagers yesterday, and it was really beautiful. We were in this sort of pseudo old growth sugar maple forest along the edge of a bog yesterday. And what's it called? It's a spring ecology and vernal pools. So I'm supposed to be talking about salamanders and frogs and things like that. And which we did, and we caught some Eastern newts, and we found a redback salamander and a yellow spotted and pickerel frog, which was actually really cool to see. And the great tree frogs were singing, which was a little early, but really cool. But anyways, later in the day, I just was like, okay, let's spread out. And these were teenagers that some of them are really into it, because they're these homeschool farm kids. And then some of them are they're at the point where they're a little too cool. They're kind of into it, but they're kind of a little cool. But I actually got them to spread out along this bog, and we just sat for 15 minutes, but they were so quiet. I was amazed. I thought for sure they'd just be yakking and talking, but it was so beautiful. And there was like these few raindrops that started to fall. And just before they started to fall, the spring peepers would pick up and then the rain would fall. And there were these, I always want to say redheaded woodpeckers, but red-bellied woodpeckers that were calling, and they can sound like a little bit like a tree frog if you're not like used to them, right? And they started to call, and there was like the brown creepers, and anyways, so many birds calling, and it was really amazing to just be quiet out there with these teens, right? And the lady that I was working for, one of the teachers working with, actually texted me last night, and she's been sending me some pictures from the day, and you know, said it was, she had a great day and had learned a lot, and the kids did. And I had actually got back to her and I was like, you know, I was really grateful to see those kids sit and be so quiet. And in the gratitude circle at the end of the day, so many, much of their gratitude was about that sit, whether they named it or whether they just named something that they experienced in that sit time. Because especially teenagers nowadays, like how often are they quiet? How often are hardly any of us quiet besides some of us and people that are probably listening to this podcast, but we're so inundated with sounds and technology and this and that, and myself included. I'm on my phone more than I probably need to be or should be, but I love to see that. And I do that a lot, often in the afternoons. I think it's a good time. It's just that time of day. Like I call it that Southwest time, but it's just such a great time to send people out. And I think, you know, as a mentor and a facilitator, I think it's so important to balance that time for people, because you can teach and kind of tell people the things that you know, and most people really love that, and they would take that all day, especially adults. Like kids are definitely different, but like with the adults that I work with, I find that, you know, they really get a lot out of that experience, right? To just sort of send them out and to, you know, sit, and I'm right there sitting with them. Like I love it myself, you know, and then we are coming back and people are sharing. Like the other day in my kids program that I'm doing with my own kids and the neighbor kids, this one little girl came running back the other day. She's like, Alexis, I saw a woodpecker. And I think it was making a nest because it went into this dead tree and it disappeared. And then it flew back out. Right. And I was like, oh, wow. I was like, what kind of woodpecker? And she's like, a woodpecker, right? And I was like, oh, yeah, of course. That's what kind it would have been. You know, it didn't really matter what kind it was. But I was like, oh, which tree? I was like, could you take me back there? Could we go see that, right? And like, we went back and like, and she showed me, you know. And then there's my son who's like sneaking through the woods trying to get closer to his buddy and like, you know, throwing sticks at people and like whistling and like imitating the crow, like trying to get everyone to come in and making the raven call, you know, which like I'm proud of him for other reasons. But it was so cool to see. And like, I love it when there's the kids that like have a hard time kind of relaxing or calming down enough to do sit spots, because it can be challenging for some kids and some adults too. But I love it when those people that find it challenging have those like rich experiences, right? Because that's what kind of sets the hook. So yeah, it's definitely important to get people sitting. And that goes with that time where people are just connecting in their own way too, right? And you're kind of facilitating that experience or just giving them that time on the land. It's tricky in bug season.
Oh yeah.
Especially around here. But yeah, I always like to do that. Sometimes we'll start the day that way too, or we'll just do a quiet time. Like a lot of my tracking groups, usually the second or third weekend, we'll do sort of like a half a day of just wandering, like owl eyes and fox walking quietly through the woods, and kind of have a rough idea where we're going to meet at the end, try to get them to stay somewhat in line. Depending where we are, it can be a bit challenging to get people to round up like after 3 or 4 hours of being quiet, just fox walking. But like people always comment on that experience, right? When they like, you just set the tone that, you know, you were not going to talk, and that we're just going to move and maybe do some hand signs, but generally people aren't together and we're just kind of keeping a rough eye on people in the distance. And I used to use that to judge like how much I wanted to hang out with some of my friends in the forest. like, if we could do that together, then like they were cool, you know, and I'd want to hang out with them. If they couldn't do that, I just didn't want to go in the woods with them. Like, I'll go in the woods with anyone that comes to our classes, and I love it, and I love them all in certain ways. But when I'm going into the woods by myself, like, there's only, like, on my own time, there's only a handful of people I really want to go with, like my kids and my friends that can be quiet.
I can so relate.
And move slowly, right? It's like, whenever I meet new people and we're like going for a hike or something, right? And it's just like, they're like trucking. They're like really going fast, right? And like, I'll always play around with it where I just slow up. And then like they get uncomfortable. They're kind of like, they're wondering if like my shoelace is untied or like maybe I'm out of shape or something, right? And I'm just like, why don't we just walk a little slower? Let's get off this trail.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. Yeah. Wow, you really painted some awesome pictures for us. I just, you know, want to emphasize one thing that you said about doing the group sit spot, because people have such a hard time getting that, you know, you spoke to so many of the gifts of that core routine, you know, so many of the gifts. But even though that by itself can change a life, it's really hard for people to actually get started. So when you're with people on a regular basis in a program the way you are, and you're actually practicing that with them, that builds that muscle, you know, for them. And then when they get home, they're able to start doing it on their own. I think that's a huge service. And yeah, just really, really appreciate the depth of your experience. And yeah, you have so many good images and feelings and stories for us all here. You really took us on a journey today, Alexis. And I'm grateful for your commitment to this and all the decades that you've been doing it. You know, it's so cool. How old's your son? The one that was creating mischief, Aiden, was laughing when you were sharing that, because that would have been him on our programs, you know, being the bad kid.
Yeah,
you know?
he just turned 9, but he loves it. Like he does have a bit of a hard time sitting still, but he makes up for it in his exuberance and enthusiasm. The other day, a little while back, now that we've been doing these Friday programs for a little over a year now, and we always tease him that he doesn't know the days of the week, I don't think, well, because like he'll wake up on Monday morning and he'll be like, "Daddy, is it Friday?" And I was like, "No, bud, it's Monday. Like, it was Sunday yesterday." I was like, why are you wondering if it's Friday? And he's like, "Oh, I just want to go to wilderness school." Right? And I was like, "Well, you know what, bud? I'm like, I really look forward to Fridays too, you know?" And he's like, "Yeah." He's like, "When I'm at school," he's like, "all I think about is Friday and wilderness school." And he's like, "especially during social studies." And I just laughed at him, right? I was like, "Oh, buddy, you know," I'm like, "well, it'll be Friday soon, you know." But my daughter too, Violet, like she, I remember years ago when they were pretty young, she was like, "Daddy, do you think we can like, we can go down the road where those three rivers, you know, those three rivers that come together and there's three different bridges. And then we sometimes go down there and like have a fire." And I was like, "Yeah, I know that spot. It's a great spot." And she's like, "do you think we could like all go down there, like me, you, and River? And we could walk in there really quietly. And then like, we'll all pick a tree that we want to sit at. And then like, maybe we'll be able to see each other, but we'll be far enough away that like, we won't talk, and we'll just like watch things and we'll observe things. And then we'll come back together and we'll like talk about all the things that we saw." And I was like, "oh, honey," I was like, "I would love to do that." Right. Like that's how she was describing it. Cause we had done that quite a few times before. So like, she didn't even know it was called the scent spot. Right. But she just like, that's what she wanted to do. Right. And it was so beautiful because that day, oh man, we saw so much cool stuff. Like it was like when the river was really high and was just receding after the spring melt, and the herons had just come back, and like a big great blue heron landed in front of us on this little creek and like caught a fish, and like the pileated woodpeckers were calling and flew in, and like were making holes in the trees, and like the hairy and downies were like drumming in that certain cadence or drum beat that they have, right? And the robins and the blue jays and the chickadees were singing. And it was just like such an amazing day. We actually saw so much because, you know, sometimes on sit spots, it could be quiet, especially at like 2 PM, right? But we actually saw so much cool stuff. And Violet had like instigated that whole thing. Like, that's when I knew, like, okay, I was like, I'm doing something right. You know, my daughter wants to go hang out in the woods and do sit spots and talk about it. Like, this is pretty cool.
And described it so perfectly. Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, this is really wonderful. And thanks for taking us on that journey. And, you know, just seeing, you know, your own children embodying this, you know, and just knowing that this can keep rippling out and keep going. So keep doing what you're doing, and we're happy to support you, Alexis. And we'll give people a clue how to find a fun day with Alexis. If you happen to be in the Ontario area, we'll have that on the show notes. So thank you. Yeah.
Awesome. No problem. Always glad to come and chat. I do enjoy sharing good stories and listening to them as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Alexis, so great to spend time with you and hear these stories and hear how much the transformation actually is in the same pieces that you can just go out and start right away if you've got enough time to brush your teeth. You know, I just love that idea. You really just painted a beautiful picture about how easily we can get started, you know, even just right by ourselves and right out our own back door, and what a transformation that can bring. So yeah, thank you for everything you shared today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Tracking Connections. If you enjoy this podcast, it would mean a lot to us if you would take a minute to follow or subscribe. Following the podcast helps us, and it helps you, because you'll never miss an episode. We'd also love for you to give us a 5-star rating and review and share an episode with a friend. To learn more about our current offerings, visit livingconnectionfirst.net. We'll see you next time.